Trust is a function. It is more than just a feeling. In a world of infinite noise, the only signal that matters is the one you verify. We are here to map the graph, order the protocol, and build the immune system for the decentralized web. Welcome to the signal processing layer. This is Say What? Welcome back to the fifth episode of Say What? Today we're decoding what it means to be a human online, a problem that is gaining increasing urgency with the proliferation of AI agents producing content, interacting and transacting on the internet. We'll get into the concept of proof of personhood or proof of human and talk about how your social graph might be the most non-intrusive way of achieving this. Remember that this frequency is powered entirely by value for value. If this transmission gives you a new perspective, consider sending it back. Boosts, zaps, and streaming sats are the only fuel we use to keep the signal clear. And joining me today are two people who've spent several years thinking about this very problem, and they will be familiar voices for listeners of the show. David Strayhorn and Nathan Day, welcome to Say What.
It's great to be here, Avi. Thank you.
Hi, guys. Great to be here.
Well, first of all, Nathan, should begin with a round of congratulations for you on winning the NIP 85 award in the recently concluded Nos Fabrica Waterthon.
Yeah, thanks for that. It was an interesting ride. Lots of work went into it by all the people participating in the Waterthon over, about 6 months or so. Really humbled to have received an award as part of that. It was a great competition. So thanks for you two for helping put that on.
No, of course. It really was great to see, the various projects. There were 17 submissions at the end of it. David, I was pleasantly surprised because we'd done, with Nos Fabrica, we'd done a hackathon the year before, which is focused on healthcare. And we got some really good submissions there. It was six of them. Some really interesting use cases came out of that. And in fact, that was the original hackathon was what made Vitor, John, and I at Nos Fabrica realize that we need to solve a more foundational problem, which is it's great to build out the transfer of healthcare data and, patient sovereignty over their data and all of that over Nostra. But there is a foundational question, which is when someone says they're a doctor or someone says they're a patient on Nostra, how do you know for sure that A, that they're not bots, and B, that even if they are human, that they're telling the truth. And I think that the proof of doctor question was what led us to conversations with you and Nos Fabrica then became focused on solving that broader web of trust problem, of which proof of profession is a key part. But beyond proof of profession, there's an even more foundational question, which is proof of human. But for folks listening, maybe we'll start with you here, Nathan. For folks listening who are wondering, what are you talking about? Human, of course we know who's a human. What do you mean proof of human? A human's a human. What are you banging on about? What do you say to them, Nathan? What are we trying to solve here?
On Nostra, and we're seeing this on the wider internet as well at the moment, which is who's a bot and who's not. So we're seeing on the centralized platforms, algorithms, or you have to be blue checked and verified by the platform provider. And so we're seeing those sorts of things coming in on X and others. But of course, on Nostra, bots are first-class citizens. So there is no central authority to be able to say whether or not they're allowed to be on there. The bots have as much right as the humans do on Nostra. So that's a feature, not a bug, in my opinion. But it also comes with some other issues that we have to deal with, because sometimes we do want to know that we're speaking with a human, or that a human has done something rather than a bot. And so, yeah, we need the trust signals in place to be able to do that. And that's where proof of personhood or proof of person and that whole conversation has really been aimed at.
Yeah. And David, you've spent several years looking at the broader web of trust problem. I mean, I know you were telling me you were working on IPFS first, trying to solve this there before you discovered Nostra and you realized Nostra was the place where you could actually solve this. But in that broad sort of social graph, curation, discovery, understanding human connection really in a non-centralized way, where did you first, when did you first realize that proof of personhood was an important, was one of the key things that needed to be solved?
That's a good question. I don't know if there was a specific time when I thought of proof of personhood. You know, Nathan, you know, pointed out that it's a problem not only in Nostra, but in the wider internet. You know, we've known ever since social media began that impersonators was a problem. And other types of what we sometimes call bad actors. Sometimes you have bots that could be accounts that maybe they're pretending to be one type of person, but they're just trying to cause flame wars. And it could just be they're just trying to get their lulls, or who knows, they could be accounts that are sponsored by intelligence agencies that are trying to get us all fighting against each other. And that's, which isn't very hard to do. So even before the age of AI, accounts that are not who they represent themselves to be was a problem. And that problem, just with the advent of AI and large language models and agents that can get onto Nostra, it's that problem on steroids, because we're going to have accounts, they're going to have videos, they're going to look like people, and they're fake. How do we know which Nostra accounts are who they claim to be? That's the proof of personhood problem.
And I think for a non-technical listener, what was likely going to be most apparent, at least in today's world, or especially in today's world, is they're looking for authentic content, authentic connections, possibly even in a social network setting. And it feels like a betrayal almost when you come across an account, you're engaging with it, and then you realize it's a bot, it's not a human being, that the story that you just read was posted by a bot, mm-hmm. or an AI rather. And now there are some, if you're talking about, you know, whether it's photos or videos or even text, today there are still ways, if you're somewhat discerning, to tell if an AI wrote it or not. There's some fairly standard ticks. If you're talking about AI speech, right, there's the rhetorical contrast. It's not X, it's Y. The overuse of M dashes and, you know, some other like fragment sentences, that sort of stuff. You can sort of tell if you're paying attention, whether it was written by AI or not. There's something about AI videos where the humans don't quite look real. There's some kind of glossy thing to their, the texture of the skin, something with the eyes. You can tell today, at least,
I guess the problem is that give it another year or two, then you won't.
Exactly. And that's, so So I would think for the average non-technical user, that sort of sense of wanting a human connection and not getting it, feeling betrayed by, or, you know, but yeah, by interacting with an AI is, would be front and center, I would think. But there are other more insidious things that can happen. I think, David, that you pointed out, it could be bad actors actively trying to stoke some kind of division, or it could be scammers trying to take your money by pretending to be someone else.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've used a great word, authentic. We're looking for authentic connections. And as Nathan pointed out, Noster, you know, bots are first-class citizens. It's not that we want everyone to be a human, but we want them to be who they claim they are. So bots are going to be very useful on Noster, but as long as they represent themselves to be, you know, I'm Avi's bot, then that is authentic. And so proof of authenticity is should be right there alongside proof of personhood.
And I also think it's not just a binary thing, like human or not. I'm certainly interested in more things than knowing something about the physical me, whether it be my height or my, you know, color of my eyes or whatever, that might unlock some things in the real world for me. I also need a way to signal that and for others to attest to the, you know, authenticity of that information or verify that information as well. And that's where we start to get into, I don't know, access control or, you know, proof of profession and some of these other things as well. So it's not just the binary, are you a human or are you a bot?
Right. You might want to attest, or, you know, that you live in a certain location, and that you're a certain height and that you're a certain profession and lots of other details about yourself. But you also might not want anybody to know those things.
Right.
So requiring, you know, the fiat solution is we're going to require everyone to show their ID in order to get online. That's a very, very suboptimal solution to this. You should be able to claim something without having to show your ID and reveal details about yourself that you don't want to. If you're a dissident, you know, who's being targeted by some evil regime, you're going to want to hide yourself. But you want listeners to know that they're listening to someone authentic. So,
yeah, and you want to selectively reveal oneself to the world.
Because what you want to reveal about yourself and what someone else wants to reveal about himself or herself could be very different things.
So, Nathan, let's talk about how you arrived at this problem. And correct me if I'm wrong, but in your work with BTC Map, you were trying to solve a similar, let's just say, an adjacent problem, which is proof of place. And I believe that was what led you into thinking about proof of personhood as well. Is that fair?
Yeah, exactly right. So we've been struggling with how we best represent the data on BTC Map within the Nosterverse, and proof of place was how we're going to do that. And then that's where we're able to send out, physically mail out cryptographic proofs in the mail to prove that the publisher of a place on Noster has physical access to the property, but also has access to their private key that they're place has been published from. So that was solving that problem, and we needed a way to then signal that we'd done that out of band verification, and that's the work of attestations, and that's what we were focusing on, or what I was focusing on as part of the Wotathon. So yeah, that was my sort of entry into the proof of XXX space. And then how we signal that thereafter. And then, yeah, proof of person, I think, followed on from that, using the same attestation primitives to be able to have other people verify and attest to, you know, various sort of definitions part of your personhood. And just working through that really as part of the Waterthon and thinking about how you would have, you know, public tags that you might want to share widely, and then secret or blinded tags that you would only selectively reveal when there was a need to do so, and you'd be able to reveal that to specific people. So trying to control how you reveal some of the secret information that you have about yourself.
So let's say, Nathan, that I am a video creator, right? Or so some kind of filmographer of sorts, and I make short videos. And I've heard about Nosto. I said, you know, it's a great place. People appreciate quality content. It's value for value, meaning, you know, you post something that gives people, if people like your videos, you'll get zapped. You'll get paid then and there. There's no middleman, none of that stuff. And I'm like, okay, let me join Nosto. Then I'm stuck in the situation of having to prove to people that I'm not a bot posting AI slop in my videos. So in that hypothetical scenario where I don't have a social graph, how do I prove that I'm a human being posting human content?
Yeah, you need access into the graph effectively. So that's one of the core problems of Nosto and discoverability, and how do we enable newcomers to start to build up webs of trust when they effectively turn up with zero web of trust. The sort of person NIP or the proof of personhood doesn't directly address that problem. I think that's a wider web of trust problem. And really is only solved by interacting with the network and building up that reputation through your actions effectively.
So, David, let's say in this hypothetical scenario, maybe I can convince 10 people, somehow the 10 people who happen to be browsing the Nosto firehose the global feed, as it used to be called, and they see some of my videos come through, they're like, hey, I like this, and they start following me. In that scenario, how would using those 10 people help me, or how would they be able to say that I'm a human being so that others can then start, or my content can start reaching other people?
So the question is, how do we use social proof to show that you're, let's say, a human being or whatever it is we want to show? Follows is very powerful. It does a very good job of distinguishing the people or the profiles that are worthy of attention versus the ones that are not. But following doesn't necessarily mean you're human. I might follow your account because you're a bot and you're very useful or entertaining, or something to that effect. And so, what we've built at Brainstorm.world right now, we're using follows and mutes and reports to do a pretty good job of getting rid of just the spam that you don't want to see. But if you want to prove that you're human, you need some kind of signal beyond follows. And I think some sort of a tagging system or attestation that basically says, I've met you in real life. We've shown each other our NPubs, and I attest that you are a human being. And then publish that on Nostr. And then that can be an additional signal that can be used in a different way. You could even remain pseudonymous in that way. I can attest you're a human being without revealing your name. I'm just simply attesting I met you in real life. And then if I am trusted by other people, then maybe they've got a little piece of evidence that your NPub is human. It's never going to be 100% certain convincing, but if two or three people attest, if two or three real accounts attest that you're a human being, then pretty good reason to believe that you're NPub is actually a person.
Yeah, and it's not dissimilar to the sort of PGP signing parties of times gone, but it's just done in a Nosta way.
Now, did PGP signing parties? I don't know the answer to this. Could you sign? Was it just a generic signature, or could you create a contextual signature? The context meaning like I'm going to sign that this is a human being, or is it just I'm going to sign? Does it mean, can you design in different ways?
No, I think it was just, I mean, it was before my time, but I think it was just, this is this person. This digital representation is this, person in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that kind of thing is a good, you ask why is it that Web of Trust didn't take off when PGP was introduced in the early 90s? And one reason could be that it just wasn't sophisticated enough. It's like, what if Nostra had follows and that's it? Then we would have no way to distinguish a human being who's worthy of being followed versus an agent, LLM, that's worthy of being followed. You have to add the additional ingredient of context. I attest that you're a human being. I attest that you're a doctor. I attest that you're a bot, whatever. And that's what makes this a difficult problem, is because who decides? I mean, how many different contexts are there? The answer is there's no limit. Mm-hmm. And who decides what context we're going to use? The easy answer is that the developer is going to, we're going to put it in a NIP. Here are five different contexts or something like that.
But, the start and then it's emergent thereafter, I think.
Yeah. That's kind of thing, it was a good start, but only if the community has the ability to add new contexts, because maybe somebody wants to attest to something that as a developer, as developers, maybe we don't know that something is important to the users. So if the users can create a new tag, for instance, and then attest that you belong, that this tag applies to you, then that can be powerful.
So let's actually, we're talking about two slightly different but related approaches, tags versus attestations. Mm-hmm. So Nathan, if I'm to understand attestations correctly, these tend to be specific and I would say verbose statements. And I don't mean pages and pages, but at least a sentence that's sent out by one that's signed by one NPUB that says, I recognize this other NPUB as X, as whatever, right? Especially if you're talking about in the context of proof of personhood, this person is a human, and a few others signed that. So now these three attestations exist on Nostra. How does that help the person who's looking to do that?
Yeah, so that's for clients to surface that. So those attestations of the original person publication, the event will exist. And so if personhood is something that a client wants to surface, then they would have to look for attestations of that base event kind, which is the person. Ultimately clients or indeed, services, a bit like with NIP 85 and trusted attestations, trusted assertions, then service providers could be able to score that kind of at a network level and then provide some of that scoring or calculated information directly to clients so that clients didn't have to do all the heavy lifting themselves.
Got it. And David, you've taken the tag approach. So I described attestations as possibly specific and because of their verbosity. You've recently started looking at this concept of tags, especially as they relate to decentralized lists, right? Which I think are more generalizable than the longer attestations. but then they lose the specificity again, right? Which would help with from the attestation itself. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Maybe helpful if you give a quick background on what a decentralized list is before you talk about tags.
So the idea of a decentralized list is, what if you have a list? You know, right now, Nostra has NIP51, which is a list that are in charge of. If you create the list, if you want to add an item or remove an item, then that's up to you. It's your list. But then, you know, the question occurred to me, what if I want my community to add an item to the list or to remove an item from, you know, from some list? Like, for example, if I want a list of Nostra developers, but I don't know who they all are, and the list changes all the time, I want the community to curate this list dynamically, then the decentralized list's custom NIP, which is at nostrahub.io, was the simplest implementation that I could think of in order to answer that question, in order to solve that problem. And so the way it works is that if you want a list of something, whatever it is, you publish a note that says a list of XYZ, and you have a description, you know, here's what should go on the list. And then anybody can add items to the list, and each item is its own Nostra event. And there are special kinds for the list header and for list items. And then the idea of Web of Trust is that if spammers decide to add to this list, well, you just ignore them because their Web of Trust score is zero. And so the NIP, the decentralized list NIP itself, doesn't specify how you curate it. It just that's out of scope for the NIP, because I wanted to keep it as simple as possible. I did suggest in the NIP that we use NIP7 upvotes and downvotes, pluses and minuses, reactions, just because that's a pre-existing and pretty widely used NIP already. And so if someone has already added an item to a list and you agree with it, you don't have to add the same item again, but you can just, thumbs up it. So that, I think, a lot of things turn out to be just lists. If I want a list of the most widely used tags, then that's a decentralized list. And my community can curate this list. Your community can curate the list, and we'll probably come up with almost identical lists. Maybe, but they won't have, there's no centralized person or entity that's making the list, which means that your list and my list may not be exactly the same, but they'll probably be pretty close enough for interoperability to work. So that's the basic idea. Hopefully that makes sense.
So I was just saying that we can then use both of those concepts, so decentralized lists and proof of personage with attestations, where you can start to populate some of these lists, which are binary, say a list of humans, and you're able to weigh that list through any attestations from within your own Web of Trust for personhood. And perhaps there's been some proof of personhood verification out of band to support that attestation signaling.
Going back to decentralized lists and tags, specifically for the concept of proof of person, would as you're saying that, David, here's how I'm envisioning it: that you could curate a decentralized list. You as a user could curate a decentralized list of npubs, and then have a second list of tags that basically attaches to this one that says human, AI, or whatever, right? And then from your Web of Trust, those people can look at the list of humans and or list of npubs and see which is human, what's an AI, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
is that fair?
I think that's how I envision it working. And in fact, Vinny Cavallo is, I think, working on implementing tags exactly in this fashion this week as a proof of concept. And so there could be a tag that says you are a human being, you know, a person. And then the description might specify, you know, if you tag someone with this tag, then it specifically means that that you've met face to face. You know, you don't just have an intuition that this is a human. You've met face to face and you've verified NPUBs. Or you could make something that's a little bit looser than that. You know, but that would be one tag. A different tag would be an agent. You know, you could tag someone as my agent runs this account. And so those, if those tags become widely used, then that's awesome that lots of people are using those tags. But if I propose a tag and people don't, you know, if I misspell it, if my description is something that's not useful, then no, you know, no harm done. Those tags that aren't used just kind of fall to the wayside and they, you know, we ignore them. So I would envision that you could create, if I want to tag someone as being an expert, you know, a Bitcoin expert, you make, and that tag doesn't already exist, you make a tag for that. And then if people start using it, then I could say, okay, well, give me the list of all the people or of all the NPUBs that have been tagged by someone in my web of trust with this particular tag. And now I've got a, you know, maybe there's a tag for Bitcoin or Freedom Technology podcasters. And or even podcasts. And then I click on the Freedom Technology podcasts and PlebChain Radio comes up on the list and maybe some other ones that I've never heard of. But, you know, making this as simple as possible, but still works. That's our challenge because it's easy. It's so easy to make these too complicated. It has to be just complicated enough to get the job done and nothing more than that.
And I think, as Nathan said earlier, it's really up to the client devs to implement this, right? Because the popular clients, there's Primal, Damas, Amethyst, Wisp, and others, Nostr, Jumble, and so on. If one of them decides to display these tags on the posts, great. But there's no interoperability yet with the other client. So you'd have to go to one, let's say Jumble does it. To know if someone's human, you'd have to go to Jumble, scroll through the feed, look at the tags. So I think the challenge there is convincing the client developers to integrate something like tags or even something like attestations.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. Only if it's useful and ultimately the users want it and the client developers want it, then, you know, the strongest ideas will stick around and the ones that weren't very good will die by the wayside. So we started to see some uptake on the attestation front. So we now got a number of clients able to show those. And that also relies upon them being able to show the base kind that is being attested to as well. So if we came on the personhood one or the person NIP, then a client would have to support both the person NIP and the attestation NIP.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Nathan, you were looking at decentralized lists as well for these attestations, correct? Or was it trusted lists?
That is yes. So if you wanted to outsource your attestation to a third party that would pick different attestation providers depending on their specialism, but you wanted just somebody else to figure that out, then you could, using decentralized list or delegated list, as we did in the Wotathon, then you're able to outsource that to other people and have that kind of trust link through a provider to an actual verifier. And so, we showed that through a tester.xyz where you were showing up as an assertion being, or an attestation being valid and trusted through that link through a provider. So it can get quite complicated under the hood, but from a user perspective, they just see you know, some pills on the post saying this is valid and trusted based upon the parameters you've specified. So yeah, trying to abstract all the complexity away from the user is key here, because it gets quite complicated quite quickly when you get into the weeds.
Well, I think this is one of the hardest challenges on Noster, right? Which is, there is so much stuff happening under the hood, especially so for a lot of this web of trust stuff that we're talking about. How do you create a user experience that's actually meaningful and impactful for the user without burying them in jargon or giving them like way too many options than they'd want to deal with, right? Like, what if there's a toggle on top of the app that says, you know, show only, like you're talking about pills, Nathan, show only the post mm-hmm. with two pills on them, two pills or more. I'm assuming the more pills, the better, right? If you're talking about how much it's filled. I think that's putting a lot of burden on the user to do that. So that is a fairly big challenge on Noster, just to make the UX so intuitive and abstract away a lot of the complexity that's under the hood. David, how do you think something like, let's just keep it simple, tags for proof of person. Do you have any thoughts on how that will manifest in a user experience?
So I think you're right about things. It's so easy for us to make things too complex. And it's important for us to just keep reminding ourselves, the user doesn't have to know how any of it works. You know, when I went to Google for the first time, I didn't know how PageRank worked. I just knew it worked. It just gave me what I wanted to. And so, same thing, users, we don't want users to have any idea what a decentralized list is or anything like that. And so thinking about the user experience, you know, simplify, keep things. Often we're going to have to strip away options and details that we want to put on, but then, you know, what we should just create default options for certain choices. So for tags, I might imagine that you can go to a user profile page. You can see, okay, this person follows X number of people, has a certain number of verified follows, and your community has tagged this as, you know, with these three tags. You know, this is a podcaster. This is a bot. This is an LLM. This is you know, it could be good tags, could be bad tags. And perhaps we would just automatically limit it to the, you know, no more than five. And then if you want to click down and look at more tags, then look at the details. How was this done? How many of my community, you know, how many trusted members of my community attested that you're a human being? You can click down and look at it, but that would be under the, you know, you wouldn't have to see that too much detail at first. So that would be the first, I would say that would be the first introduction for tags or you know, tags and that, or attestations perhaps working together. My community has attested these three things about this user.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been focusing for the most part on proof of human, but I think there's a second question immediately after you know someone's human. And this goes back to what we were saying, what I was saying with the early days of NosFabrica, where we were trying to build out these healthcare use cases, which is, it wasn't so much proof of human as proof of profession, right? Yes, you might be a human being and you might be posting on Noster, but you're posting as a doctor, and how do I know you're a doctor? So that's the second question that immediately comes up. The third question is, yes, you're a human being. Yes, you're saying you're a doctor, and, you know, fine, you are a doctor, but how do I know you're a good doctor, right? So there's proof of human is the base layer. There's then proof of profession, and then on top of that, there's proof of competency or skill.
Ooh.
So maybe, maybe Nathan, we'll start. It doesn't have. You don't have to pick doctor as an example. Whatever is easier for you. How do you get past the proof of person, assuming you've solved it, and then get to proof of profession?
Well, this is the great thing about Nostr, is that we're now in a world of so-called first-person credentials. So we don't have to have some central authority issuing those credentials to our identities, which is where everyone has been for the last couple of decades. We can now assert that, you know, I don't know, I can drive a 10-ton truck or something, and then other people will attest whether or not that is valid or invalid. And it might be that it's, you know, some driving authority, the DMV or whatever else. Or it might be just other people that you trust driving 10-ton trucks who have attested to that. And the same thing can happen to, I don't know, scuba diving, or I don't know, whether or not you're a good karate student or something like that. But we're asserting these things as sovereign individuals rather than have some authority issue us those credentials. So it's kind of inverting that trust model, really.
So if I were to imagine a marketplace for 10-ton truck drivers, there's going to be a list of people who have asserted that they fit the description, but only some of them are going to have attestations from others who say, yes, this is true. And even fewer, a subset of those, will have attestations from people that you actually trust, whose opinions you trust on 10-ton truck drivers, for example. and that's how that sort of commercial transaction would take place, correct?
Yeah, and we just have to build up those. So I'm not naive enough to think that this is going to happen tomorrow, but it can happen for simple things for people who live on Nostr or, you know, digitally are active on Nostr, but interact with each other in the real world as well. But yeah, we just have to build these up, and then slowly, maybe, you know, in 20 years' time, we do get the DMV recognizing self-asserted driving credentials. But we have to start by making those assertions.
Yeah, you can think about how does the existing, you know, legacy system handle the question that you asked. You can go online, you can search for doctors, and you can get, you know, 5-star ratings for them. So those systems exist. The problem is that we really have no idea who's issuing them. We have no way of knowing whether these 5-star ratings are from human beings or, you know, with good judgment or with bad judgment, or even human beings at all. You know, so the difference, you could envision that we do basically something similar, where people can issue issue ratings using Nostr. But imagine if you could say, okay, I want to sift all of the existing ratings. First of all, let's take every rating that exists. So this pub key has 100 upvotes or something like that. But that's all comers, no filters. And now I want to filter it only the people whose baseline grape rank score is above 2. And so then now you get that filters out a lot of the bots. But maybe I want to only count the ratings that were authored by human beings. So if I have a curated list of human beings, then I'm only going to look at what they, you know, what they say about something. So you're filtering out the bots. If a bot, you know, rates a doctor, I don't care about that. I want humans. Or, you know, you can imagine. You might have some list of experts who you want to curate some particular topic, and so these can be settings that, you know, this is where we have the balance. We want to make it complicated enough that you can do all these things, but also not so complicated that it overwhelms you with too many options. So just have a default option that makes sense for most people. And then if you want to click down and say, okay, well, I want to know what do Bitcoiners say about this particular list versus human beings versus, you know, all worthwhile versus verified accounts versus everyone, including the bots. And the ability to, you know, if we want these to be adopted by clients, you know, by Primal and Damas and Nustria and all these, then we want to make it as simple as possible. And so having a service like our service, like Brainstorm, that would take all this data, a bunch of attestations and a bunch of trust scores, and then synthesizing it together into a list that you just publish, into a trusted list, which is kind of similar to NIP51, then, you know, I want to keep track of the Bitcoin podcasts. And so periodically I have a service that says my trusted community says, here's the list of Bitcoin podcasts. And maybe I want to keep track of that. So that would make things simpler for a client to be able to start adopting, you know, all these things we're building. They don't have to synthesize all the attestations. They can just take the finished list and you know, show it somewhere on a user, on a page.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead, David.
I was just thinking, going back to your earlier question, how would users use this? I would imagine, like right now, you can go to brainstorm.world. You can search, do a keyword search for Bill, for Jack, for whatever. I'm imagining, what if you could say, I want to search for everyone who is a human being, or how about everybody who has been verified, who's been tagged as a doctor, and who's been tagged to live in my hometown? Then click those buttons and bam, you've got a list. You have exactly what you're looking for, curated by your community, not curated by in any kind of centralized fashion. And but you wouldn't have to even be thinking about that. You would just think this is fast and it's easy and it works.
Yeah, and that's for the public information. But you might also have private information, so you might want, I don't know, maybe your date of birth, you wanted to keep that secret. Mm-hmm. So with you could put that as a blinded tag within your person note that you signed, and then you can just share the information required with the person wanting that information, or they need to decrypt that date of birth. Mm-hmm. So you're selectively sharing that, you know, maybe it's entry into a nightclub or something, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And you've shared that with the venue, maybe it's on the door in person, but that's also been attested to by some people that the venue trusts as well, whether that's some age verification service or something else. Mm-hmm. So just to stress, you know, this is all opt-in. None of this is being forced upon anybody. Mm-hmm. But it does enable real-world applications should you wish to engage with them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can selectively do that. So you can have these public lists, which is for more kind of less sensitive information, but you can also have these blinded tags that you can selectively share with those that you want as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I had a conversation yesterday with Hazard about one of the most difficult things is to know what features to build and in what order. And mm-hmm. And in this particular case, I think from a builder standpoint, we would probably first want to build the things, you know, curation of lists that are public information. Just
agreed.
One thing at a time. But and then that can lay the groundwork for doing what you just talked about. Suppose I have a list of members of some community, and I only want that community to be able to have access to some piece of information. So the community members might be public, and then that could be curated dynamically by my by the world, but not by me. And then I set up a system so that this other piece of information, I only send, I would send it in an encrypted, you know, message upon request, only if the request comes from someone on this, in this community. So building these features one little piece at a time, is one of our biggest challenges, which order to build them.
You know, I want to go back to the topic of, past proof of person, but for proof of profession, and especially proof of competence in that profession. We're talking about using the generic web of trust, which is the people from in your web, in your social graph, who meet a certain threshold. A threshold could be determined by a number that comes from the grape rank algorithm or some other way. Right, so that's your generic web of trust. But when it comes to making certain decisions, you might not want to trust just about anyone in that group. For example, this is true in real life as well, right? You have friends whose musical taste you trust, but you wouldn't go to them for restaurant recommendations. There'd be others who you'd go to travel recommendations from, but you wouldn't trust them for something else. For instance, so that's, I think we loosely refer to that as contextual web of trust. Nathan, is this something that you've given some thought to? Because yes, it's all well and good to have a broad web of trust to make broad decisions. But if you want to pick the right doctor, just because someone from your perspective whose score was higher than a certain threshold has attested for a doctor, does that actually mean that they're a good doctor? Don't you need an extra layer there where it's...
Yeah. And that's where you can list people, AWM pubs, that you trust to attest for a given kind. So the base assertion. And you can also, as we discussed earlier, outsource that to providers who you trust to make that decision on your behalf. And so, yeah, you can effectively direct that according to who you trust to attest in different areas as defined by kinds. And then one of the directions we want to take a tester in, we didn't quite get there through the Waterthon, but is then having a tester and, you know, other services that might crop up, calculate an attestation score that is specific to each individual assertion event, the subject event, and that will calculate across your web of trust. So it would give you, based upon your preferences, a 0 to 1 score about how trustworthy a given assertion or how valid a given assertion was.
Mm-hmm. David, how do you think about solving the contextual web of trust problem? Because I think what Nathan says makes sense, but I still think that puts the onus on each individual user to create these trust circles, if you will, for each kind or each use case. How do you abstract the context?
The simplest way that I can think of to solve the problem you just raised is, again, just tags. I can create a tag for someone who has good taste in music, which is not everyone, or good, fashion sense, for example. And that's just a tag. And anybody can apply that tag to any NPUB. And then I can just have some code in the background, either I'm running it myself or a service like ours, like Brainstorm, that sifts through all those tags and comes up periodically, would say, here's an updated list of people who have been tagged by your community as NPUBs with good taste in music. And so then if I want to curate a list of, I don't know, songs or something like that, then instead of letting anyone contribute to that curation event or that you know, the act of synthesizing all that data, then I just restrict it to the list of people with good taste in music. So chaining, you know, you could have one well-defined group of NPubs curating list A of NPubs, and then list A of NPubs curates list B of NPubs, or maybe list B of events, if it's content that you're, if it's music you're looking for. So I just to keep things as simple as possible, I like to think of just how, you know, just the basic tagging system could work for that. And I think of these as attestations, you know, maybe not precisely the way they're at your attest, you know, Nathan's a tester and it works, but probably very, very, very close to
that. Actually, they're similar. Yeah. You can go down and set these preferences individually, but doesn't mean you have to. So most people will use one or more service providers to you know, make these lists or make these lists of NPubs for given subject types or whatever themselves. But it's important that you can, should you wish.
And I think for Nostr, for any of these use cases to scale on Nostr, that will probably have to be the first step, which is, I mean, we have follow packs now, right? It's in the list of people for a certain context that you could follow. Maybe we start with attestation packs or tag packs. It could be a list as simple as a list that's a decentralized list that's signed by a particular service provider, and you as an end user, it's just one action, right? You accept it or you add it, and after that you get a curated experience. So I mean, music is a really good one, right? There are several amazing independent musicians out there in the Valley for Valley world, but you need a way of unearthing them as an end user. If you've never heard of Joe Martin, how are you going to find Joe Martin? Let's say you're brand new to Nostr, right? But if you have an attestation pack or a tag pack where it's you're essentially delegating that context out to a service provider, then maybe Joe Martin will get unearthed when you go to the Nostr Music app.
Yeah, I can imagine that if you want to find new music, you go to Spotify, you see what you get, and you're going to get, you know, popular musicians. And then you go to ChatGPT or Grok and ask the same question, and you're probably only still going to get the popular musicians. And then you go to Brainstorm or to a service on Nostr that's similar to Brainstorm, and that's when you're going to find the musicians who are awesome, but who aren't necessarily approved of by Spotify or known by ChatGPT, but you know people who know people who know those musicians, and because you're using social proof to unearth them rather than a centralized service. I think the power of social proof, it's easy to underestimate it until you see it in action, as evidenced by the power of how awesome Google search was. Google uses social proof under the hood. You know, website A links to website B, that is social proof of the website B is probably worth visiting. Similar to if NPub A follows NPub B, that's social proof. With Nostr being better because we can now have contextual things that are more, you know, provide information in addition to just simple followed. But having, you know, finding musicians using these social proofing methods is going to be much more powerful, I think, than it might sound until you know. But of course, we have to show it. We have to prove it. Mm-hmm.
So, Nathan, on the topic of Valley for Valley music and finding musicians that you like, do you see a role for attestations and a tester there?
I'm not sure. I think that's more about taste. Attestations are more binary than that. It's saying something is valid or invalid. So, like, you know, are you 180 centimeters tall? Valid, invalid. Whereas I think when it comes to recommendations for food or music or whatever else, that's more subjective, and it's more about an opinion on something rather than a statement of truthfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I think curating, statements of fact should come. We should tackle that first, and then curating subjective opinion. You know, this is great music or something. It's harder. Maybe that comes second, and also having binary attest, you know, it might be easier for us to do that first. And then if you want to have 5-star ratings, maybe we do that second, you know, after we tackle after we demonstrate that we can curate binary data. Mm-hmm.
So it's bringing this back full circle to where we began with proof of human, proof of person, and then the next couple of steps, proof of profession, proof of competence. When do you think we will see something that's actually usable on Nostr?
2 weeks.
TM.
soon. Some of the ideas, decentralized lists, we already have them. There's the specs already there on Nostr Hub. The person NIP that I'm working on is almost ready to be released. I hope to do that this week. So I don't know when this will go out, but maybe by the time this goes out, there'll be a draft NIP on Nostr Hub for person, and also the additions to the attestations NIP that are required for scoped attestations for given tags on the person NIP as well.
Mm-hmm. David, do you share Nathan's optimism?
Everything is always feels like 2 weeks away to me. It's felt that way for 15 years. But you know, so yes, TM. But, you know, we already have brainstorm.world. We already have very effective keyword search. And so I think we have the best keyword search for profiles that you'll find anywhere in Nostr. So again, just using your social proof to find what you're looking for, we already have evidence that's working. When are we going to start having contextual stuff, tags? Hopefully very soon. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone just posted in the live chat that PubKey uses tags. Something either of you are familiar with?
That's one of the things that I like the most about PubKey. Because I was on their first dev call. And they use tags. And I'm like, why does Nostr not have a tags NIP? Seems simple enough. PubKey, I've not seen any indication that PubKey knows what to do with them. You know, they just have them. And I'm happy to be proven wrong, demonstrated wrong, because I've not been following what they're doing closely.
I'm not familiar, really. I thought you meant the bar in New York at first.
Which is by the way, a side note, that is a trademark collision that is going to happen. Well, assuming PubKey, the protocol, takes off. But that is a trademark collision that will happen in that case.
That'll be an interesting fight to watch. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that they'll get to that point where they want to fight it. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. All right, gents, anything you'd like to add before we wrap up? I know, Nathan, you have a hard stop coming up soon.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, if any of this has resonated with you and you want to collaborate on some things, or you've been working on some similar ideas or adjacent ideas, then please get in touch and we can work together on stuff rather than have, you know, different people working on different strands. So yeah, if any of this personhood stuff has rung true, then please get in touch. The things I'm working on at the moment as well, there's lots of parallels with the selective declosure JSON web tokens, so SDJWT, which is a IETF web standard. So if we've got any SDJWT experts, aficionados listening, then please drop me a DM or tag me on those stuff.
Excellent. David?
I would just say I'm excited about the future. I think this is a tough problem that we're tackling, but I think we have a handle on it. And it's just a question of, you know, we just have our nose to the grindstone, and it's just a matter of how long it's going to take.
Excellent. Agree with that, David. And thank you, Nathan. Thank you, David. This is a great discussion. And I'm sure we'll be back in a few months talking about something Web of Trust related again. But until next time, folks, thank you for listening.
Thank you, Avi. Nathan, great talking with both of you.